This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
This week and next week, we continue our theme of Christ the King as we look at Jesus through the eyes of John the Baptist. Let's begin though with a very lively song called Sun Goes Down from the album by David Jordan, Set the Mood. It actually gave me the idea for the title of this radio programme, New Day Dawning. And I first heard this song sung on TV at the Royal Variety Show at the London Palladium. It begins with these words. Open your eyes, there's another day dawning. Children of the night, can't you hear them all calling? Great song.
Open your eyes, cause another day is dawning. Children of the night, can you hear them all calling? Skies open up, any angel starts falling. Listen to the beats, can you hear them hollering? Start in the morning, through to the evening. Dance like you're the only one around. Move like you want it, groove like you need it. Dance to the up till the sun goes down. All the bass and the drums and the roar, roar, roar. We're out of time and darling fine. If you lost your senses, you have mine. And lose yourself from the time you awake to the evening time till the sunshine breaks.
Singer David Jordan, we come to today's action, which takes place in and around the River Jordan. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah predicted that God would honour Galilee by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. You can find that in chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. But he went on to say of the people who would be living there, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." So according to this reading, a people who'd lost hope, a people who'd been wondering whether God had abandoned them, were about to be enlightened. We're going to hear a song called Light of the World, sung by an African children's choir, made up of some of the neediest and most vulnerable children in their countries. Let's listen to it now.
Say, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk into darkness, but will walk to the light of life.
And yet another of Isaiah's prophecies appear in our reading for today, from Luke 3, 1-6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places are plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So whose voice was crying in the wilderness? Who was Isaiah referring to? Who was it who would tell people to prepare the way of the Lord? The prophet Malachi also has an answer right at the very end of the Old Testament, in chapter 4, verse 5. He says, "Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." Jesus would later explain to his disciples that John the Baptist was this Elijah. So Scripture tells us that John the Baptist was God's chosen instrument to go ahead to prepare the way of the Lord God as a courier, a forerunner, to get people ready to receive him. That's what couriers or forerunners of royalty did in those days. Roads had to be made safe, and people had to be aware of who was coming so that they would show them the proper respect and make the appropriate response. And the dwelling places he would visit would have to be made ready for a king to enter. John told the people to get ready and prepare the way for the Lord, for he was coming soon.
Yeah.
That was Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord, sung by the Preston Wood Baptist Choir and Orchestra at their Palm Sunday service. So, who was John the Baptist? What was unusual about him? And why were the people so eager to hear what he had to say? I think the first reason people were drawn to John lay perhaps in the mystery surrounding his birth. At the time when Jesus was born, there was a tremendous amount of supernatural activity. Angels of God were appearing with messages to various people. It all began when one angel appeared to a man called Zechariah, who'd been alone in the holiest part of the temple. It was his turn as priest to make the offering of incense to God. According to Luke, an angel called Gabriel suddenly appeared to him there and told him that his wife, who was barren and past her childbearing days, would have a son whom they would call John. No strong drink must pass his mouth, the angel had said, and right from his birth he would be full of the Holy Spirit. He would be a forerunner of the coming king and prophet, just like Elijah, and that he would bring many people back to God. Zechariah was literally dumbstruck when he questioned the angel's message. And when he emerged from the temple, unable to speak, there was no doubt in the people's mind that he had had a vision from God. And when his wife later gave birth to a son, and Zechariah's speech was restored at his son's naming ceremony, the people were in awe of their baby. "What will this child become?" they all said. No doubt they kept an eye on him as he grew into manhood, but we have very little record of his early days. Here is a magnificent song called Benedictus. The Latin words of the song translated say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It's sung here by a Welsh choir, 160 strong, called Cor Glanethwy. Listen out for a massive shout of appreciation during the song, the crowd's reaction when they appeared on Britain's Got Talent. Benedictus is also the name given to the words of thanksgiving that Zechariah spoke by way of a prophecy concerning his newborn son John. This is what he had to say about him. "And you, my child, shall be the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." Guessing that the second reason people may have flocked to hear John the Baptist was that he was a bit of an oddity. His entire lifestyle was authentic as a prophet of God. When people even today see and hear someone whose faith is genuinely lived out, they're attracted to their message. This was the case with John the Baptist, who began preaching in the wilderness, wearing camel skin, eating a very sparse diet of locusts and wild honey. He was a bit of a wild man, really, but to the people he was all that a prophet should be, bold, outspoken, passionate in his preaching. He began to spread the news that the Messiah, their king, was coming at long last. He was well aware he'd been given a specific task to do for God, and he set out to fulfill that mission with great determination and courage. He was a man set apart from others, a messenger of good news. Here's a beautiful song called Ma'anavu, and its words in Hebrew translated has this to say: How lovely on the mountains are the feet of the messenger of good tidings, proclaiming peace, proclaiming good, proclaiming salvation, saying to Zion, Your God reigns. Third reason that drew a great crowd of people to John was that the people then were desperate for good news. They were a nation of people who had once had a colourful history, full of great kings and renowned prophets, men and women filled with the power of God's Spirit, many of whom had promised that one day a king, a conqueror, would restore their fortunes. But as I said before, those who lived in and around the Jordan had become oppressed and downtrodden. They were ruled by a corrupt puppet king, King Herod, whose strings were controlled by a brutal pagan force, the Romans. They needed a saviour now more than ever. And so when John came from the wilderness to the Jordan, preaching that their king's arrival was imminent, they got excited. They were now hopeful of receiving their saviour and Messiah in their own lifetime. Here's a song called Make Way, Make Way.
Make way, make way,
make way, make way,
for the King of Kings,
for the King of Kings.
Make way, make way,
make way, make way,
for the King of Kings,
for the King of Kings.
Make way, make way, for Christ the King, King splendor.
Your lives. Make way, make
That was a lovely song there, written and sung by Graeme Kendrick. Rather than telling people to make their roads and homes ready and fit for a king, as a courier then would have done, John led them to prepare their hearts instead. He now challenged the people to repent of their sins and be baptised in the Jordan River. There's a word, repent. It's a word we've often heard or seen on billboards, or even seen on sandwich boards where it's written, repent for the end of the world is nigh. And it comes to us as a fearsome thing, a word that seems weird or perhaps off-putting, a switch off. But all repentance is a change of heart and mind that brings us closer to God. It's a change of direction. We turn away from sin towards God for his forgiveness. It's a healing path, one which will refresh us and bring us new life, one which will save us from destruction and death. It's a fresh beginning. John offered baptism to those who had repented and wanted to be washed clean of all sin. It was a sign that they belonged to God from that moment on. Repentance and baptism are all to do with life and hope, and it's never too late to make that brand new start. Here's my song on that subject, It's Never Too Late.
It's never too late to make a brand new start. It's never too late to unlock a stony heart. For in this world where life is short and time just rushes by, it's never too late to give God's love. It's never too late to learn to love your fellow man. It's never too late to try and build your life again. 'Cause the circle of this life on earth won't be long. It's never too late to give God's love to you. It's never too late.
Even though people were drawn to John the Baptist like a moth to a flame, he didn't draw attention to himself, but pointed away to the one who was to come. And we'll hear about this in the second part of John's message next week. This is Sheila Hamlett, Radio Tyneside. Thank you, Andrew, for your technical skills in producing this programme. And thanks to all of you at home and in hospitals for listening to New Day Dawning. And I hope you'll tune in next week. I want to leave you with one last Advent song, sung by Red Mountain Music, and it's called O Come Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a word which means God with us. Bye for now.
O come Emmanuel, and ransom captive that mourns in lonely exile, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee.